not recommend candidate to fill vacancies for the Electoral Commission. Now, that process that has been forwarded to us, meaning that the work that has been done by the Chief Justice has now been referred to Parliament, for Parliament to consider the three names that to fill up that that the vacancies that occurred at the commission. Now, we work according to the letter referred to us, certainly by the speaker, and the report of the panel that was established in terms of Section 6.3 of the Act. Yes. And refer to the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs for consideration of the report. So the report is being tabled formally to us, and the report is the one that the committee section has made it available to all members of the CVs of all those who have gone through the panel and shortlisted for consideration. Now, normally what we discussed yesterday was that we will then table this formal to the committee. We will then set up a date for the engagement of looking at those CVs and then make our own recommendations to the House as the Portfolio Committee. Normally, this process is how they work with the Parliament, is that members are afforded the opportunity to go and interact, consult, engage with their parties generally. That's how it's done. And then we come back and we have some kind of consensus on the names. And then from there, we adopt the names that are proposed. Within the names that are proposed, we'll then, you know, adopt three and then make recommendations to Parliament. And once Parliament agreed to the proposed names, we then send them to the President to do the process of the appointment. That's the process that had to be done. So the tabling is now done formally, as you have received the information. Is there question clarity that members need? The only thing that to do will be to schedule in the next meeting of the committee when do we then have deliberation and discussion of the CVs. There are options that you have to look at generally is that we may want to have the public participation process, but that public participation process does not amend shortlist, but just to deal with the candidates that they should be submitted. Because once that process has been done, we don't have any right to bring anyone outside the candidates that have been a shortlisted. Right. So the matter is being tabled before members, and then members can then ask questions or clarities. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members, and the department and our visitors. Chair, I think we accept the tabling of the recommendations from the Chief Justice Office. But I wanted to talk about, to comment on the issue of consideration and making of the final recommendations to Parliament, that we must at least try to ensure that before the Parliament arrives in September, it should be already adopted by the National Assembly. And then the second point on the public participation. I think for me, this process is conducted under a certain piece of legislation. And I think when as these names are being brought before Parliament, we cannot start, as you are saying, another process unless we can just call for comments about these people that have been recommended by the Chief Justice. But as you have already alluded to say, there's not much that could be done in restarting the process. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I think my also clarity will, the one that Honorable Tambuza is also seeking clarity, because I thought the Chair will elaborate on the fact that we have 8 CVs that is in front of the committee, but we are expected to recommend or select only 3. Yes. And then also the clarification to say that when are we expected to go with the report as a committee in National Assembly, then we can able to have a clear picture of when can we come to this committee and deal with those things. Thank you.
Yeah, Jim, my point was the same. I just wanted us to just get some clarity, because we need to move with haste with this one. We don't want to leave it for too long, so if we can just deal with that. Thank you very much.
The next meeting of the committee, beside tomorrow, it will be next week Tuesday and the 28th of August, then the 4th of September. Then from there, there's going to be a committee week from the 11th until the 14th of September.
So the meeting of the 28th, what is it? What is the agenda? Because I think we can put it for that meeting.
You must remind them what is the agenda in 2017. Exactly. Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, when is it going to have? to the House. Because
yeah, this is what we want to do. The House will adjourn in September, right? Mm-hmm. In September.
Yeah.
In the middle of September. So it means that we must be able to finish this well by then. My biggest concern would be that we have the electoral amendment that is not coming forward. And that's my biggest one. That's our time to buy time. But maybe what we do with this, I'm not sure, John, where are you with the electoral amendment? Because this parliament can adjourn, it's going to impact very bad on the ICD for the
preparation
for election, right? So it was going to be good if we have the two at the goal that can then be sort of adopted as these amendments and then adopt the amendments. With those amendments, we still have to do public hearing again.
Chair, if I may, I'll come back with more detail, but as far as I'm aware, the presentation to the to Cabinet has to be done now, because remember they first need to obtain approval for the publication of the bill for public comments and then for introduction into Parliament, etc. So there was a Cabinet committee that was postponed last week to this week. So I'm not sure if it has already been presented this week during a Cabinet committee meeting or not, but I'll find out and I'll come back to Chairperson.
Next week, on Tuesday, we'll then do the assessment of the CVs and process and prepare a report that goes to the House, meaning that we'll just adopt, they agree on the names that can fill up those vacancies. Okay? Is it done? Agreed? Okay. Tuesday, the debut is going to be the 21st. All right, that's fine. We're done with this one. Then the report will be prepared to the House after our engagement. Hussein?
I'm fine with the suggestion. I'm just trying to think ahead a bit. I would prefer we don't go to the House with a position that we don't all agree with. And next week when we meet, we might come to a point where some of us don't agree on the names. And I want to suggest then that if we don't agree by next week, that we finalize it the following week, because that will give us a little bit of additional time to be able to... I am, actually, because we've been through this process once before, and then you get to a point of where, you know, different parties have different suggestions, and then go back again at least for a mandate and see if we can make some compromises, because...
Okay, let's put it...
On the IEC, you don't want to go to the House
now
with a deferring...
Look, the issue is that we don't want to vote on the matter
of
this nature, generally.
Exactly.
If we come to a vote, it becomes clumsy, you know, your credibility of your elections machinery is sort of questions and all of that. We don't want that. We work on consensus in this particular arrangement. So let's agree that we'll then formally deliberate on the issues, and we can then pick up if there are differences from the point of our engagement next week on the 21st. Okay? Agreed, members? All right, then we dispose of this one, and I think all members have received their file, right? Mm-hmm. You have received your file. If there's any problem, please talk to Eddie to help you with the file. Eddie, just talk to me on this point of the proposal that came from the NGO that wanted... What was that? Can you talk to us quickly? So that by the time when we close here, we are clear as to what is happening.
There is an NGO called CASCAP, Council for the Advancement of the Constitution, if I'm not mistaken. They have submitted a report on the candidates that have been forwarded to Parliament, that they want members to go through it. So if the chair and the committee agrees, and then I can be in a position to distribute that
what
report.
What does the law say? What do we do once we have received such work done by... We have to open it up for...
Thank you, sir. No, in fact, I'm not disagreeing, but I'd like to check why didn't they send this intervention to the judge, to the panel of justice, Mokgweng Mokgweng, because really the process, if we interfere with the process at this stage, it will look clumsy. Perhaps can they make that submission to Judge Mokgweng Mokgweng?
Yeah. Chair, I take the point that Honourable Gumede is raising. The problem is that the judge's responsibility in terms of the act is now concluded, as they say, what functus officio. Am I right, Dion? You're the master in these things. So sending that correspondence to the judge president is of no value. No, you're not listening. I'll wait for you. So sending it to the Chief Justice is a waste of effort. And then it's just that I think that I doubt that the legislation requires public involvement in the process. I haven't ever come across it. It doesn't. But it doesn't mean that we... No, how can you say that's fine if you haven't finished? Let me finish. Just let me finish first, please, Chief. No, I'm not repeating the stuff. I haven't even made the point yet. Please wait. Brother. Okay.
You said that there is no need in the process that has been engaged on by the Chief Justice, which support Honorable John Gomez, that there is no need for the process.
That's what he said. That's what he said.
And you support it?
No. You see, that's why you must listen.
No, please.
Just come to the point. That's why, I'm coming to the point. The problem is you're not listening to the point.
You want
that's why you're jumping in at the wrong times. You're saying the wrong things.
I accept.
No, my view is slightly different to Honorable Gumede, and I'm simply saying this, is that sending it to the Chief Justice is going to be a wasted effort. And what you also don't want to do is to be seen as if you're not listening to comments that the public has made. Ultimately, it's the decision of the committee to decide whether it wants to take those things into consideration. So I would suggest that we do circulate it as you suggested, and then when we table the matter later, you can decide whether we want to take that into consideration or not.
You have said that I support you now, the chair. Thank you. You're my anger, you're my right hand, and if Don does not come to the point, I do get you always. And if me and you agree, then I'm fine.
You are a full-time job.
And then, you know, the fight at the corner, they will always come and kill for me. No, thank you very much, colleagues. So the matter will be done with on Tuesday, and then that will be circulated, and then... So let us move to the next area of our engagement.
from Khalid has proposed quickly. I want us to deal with it and dispose of it. Khalid, can you talk to Please talk to this letter, Khalid, quickly, and then let's find a way of. The department is there, civil service is there.
No, I will just summarize, Chair. Thanks for affording me the opportunity to present this letter. In fact, I sent the letter to you on the 25th of June. So today is 20 of August. So it has been 2 months. Yeah, no, I'm not accusing you, but I just want to put on record that it has been 2 months. But firstly, I send it to our secretary, because normally when I get anything from the public, I just send it to our secretary to go and check with the department. But this one, because the department was not replying, I thought that let me just send it to the chair for the intervention of the committee, because I think this is a very serious a matter, whereby two people are complaining about to be stateless in South Africa because of the fault of the department. I'm talking about Mr. Raj Singh Gosei, who have told me that he has done everything according to the books of South Africa to apply for to be naturalized in South Africa. And because of the procedures and regulations of South Africa, you have to renounce your original birth country. And then he did that according to the procedures. But now he is stateless because he is not getting any joy from our country, and he has no country to go with. So he can't do anything, he can't fly, and there is no, the fact of the matter is that there is no response from the department. So the second issue is from Florita Kumbai. It's the same matter, and then she took the matter to court after the department have not come to her rescue, and there was a court case, and she won the court case. So, Chair, where I need an intervention, and the department must answer, is whereby when we engage with the department to say, look, there is a court order now from the court, and then what is happening, can you explain to us in order to go back to this person? The department replied through the secretary of the committee to say, I don't have details of that person. And it's a crisis. So we've been trying to engage with the department. Even my, also my letters to department, they don't reply to it. Yeah, they just ignore. We call them, and then at some point it looks like it's personal while we are doing our job to say, but can you give me a feedback so we can go to that person? So I'm appealing, and I want the indulgence of the committee to say, how can you deal with these matters? Because it can be three of them in front of us, or two or four, but it looks like there's a lot of cases such as this. You remember yesterday, Chair, they have indicated as the department that this weekend they are going to have that ceremony of 300 people. But when you read the letter, or when you read the cases of such people, they've been saying, they've been told by the department that the reason why they are not issued the certificate of naturalization is because the minister must pronounce a date of ceremony. So if the minister has not come back to the department to say the ceremony date will be taking this place, so these people, they become stateless. So upon the minister, that's why yesterday I like your question when you asked the DG, is it according to the law? Because there's no law that says that people must be must undergo to that ceremony. It was the department decision. There's no law. We must be clear on that one. And we know the history of this department. There have been change of ministers from one minister to another, and then they've not been prioritizing this ceremony. As a result, those people remain stateless wherever they are because the minister is not coming to force. So I think that we must intervene as a committee and get a clear indication to what is happening. And then there's another case that I didn't put here because it was not the same case of Dan Brotman. But yesterday, Mr. Skakane, who is responsible for naturalization and that category, he indicated to me that no, now he's going to reply to that case. It's an old case. He's also going to papers that young man because he thought that the department didn't treat same as the treatment of Guptas, so it's another case on its own. So, but my point, Chair, just to summarize, to say the department, they must be clear on such procedures and regulations to grant naturalization. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much,
for your point. If you remember, not long ago, at some point there was a young man that we paraded, the family of a young man that we paraded in the committee at E47, who was struggling with the passport. And I think that as individual members on a daily basis, you get confronted by members of the public that raises the issue, the frustrations and problems with home affairs and all of that. Now, what we will not do is that is to open up ourselves to be another home affairs. But we have a responsibility as members that when a member of the public raises an issue with you, either in your constituency, your capacity as a member of parliament, you must listen to that member of the public and you must take the case. You can't say, go and queue there, go and do this. You have to take it up. Because of your proximity with the authority, you then use that particular proximity to help this individual. Right? It has never been a formal arrangement in the committee where we sort of bring these things together and send them to the department. But it's only when members get frustrated that there's no response that is coming from the department that we then said that let this issue come, serve before the committee. The department is here. If the department is in a position to respond on such issues, especially on the statement that is made by Mom Kalipi around the frustration of the stateless persons and all of that, as she's put it in the document. Civic services is here, immigration may be informed, legal services is here. You may want to make a comment, but we need to agree as a committee that what we do with such matters when there's no response. I mean, I've been dealing with the case, if to be very honest with you, colleagues, for the last 15 years with the department, the last 15 years. That case is not being resolved for 15 full years. The person where he is now, he does not have a passport, he does not have an ID, he's a professor at the university, he's teaching our children every day. Mm-hmm. He does not access his salary, he does not access anything, he's on his own there. He's a professor here at the university. So for the last 15 years I've been dealing with this case, only because he came via, during the time of excitement, when everybody was coming in the country via Angola and claimed that he's an Angolan and realized that he's not, and all of that. But what is the best interest of the country and all of those issues, you know, we want to deal with them. But I don't fight, but I understand the law must take its course and those processes will have to be attended to whatever time it takes, right? So what we must then do, maybe, Dion, together with the director there responsible for civic services, DDG. We may want to comment, if you are able to comment on, if you have seen it, if you have not seen it, we are going to table it formally. And then request that in the next meeting, we get the response, right? We get the response from the department on these issues. But again, to agree with the department that when members of parliament raise an issue with yourself, it does not mean that you must break the law, but please just accord them that respect of responding to their issues. You know, and respond, first the acknowledgement, you know. It excites so much that you pick up someone's case, you send it to the department, either you write to them. Someone must acknowledge, you know, that I have received your letter, no, member. The letter is being attended. And we have what they call the parliamentarizing of the minister, who comes here every day, puts up a tie, suit is every day here, he eats our lunch here, when we do breakfast, he eats our breakfast, but he does not take our case. So we may want, in fact, to agree that if any member has a particular case, you know, it becomes easy if we can channel it via the parliamentarizing. The parliamentarizing will then use this discretion to allocate it. If it's a civic case, you can take it to the civic DG. If it's immigration, you can take it to immigration. If it needs attention of the minister, we'll take it to them. We meet all the time, we get the feedback. But I don't want us to create the register of these cases. Because once we begin to create that, we're going to focus now on cases every day. It's not going to help us. But you can then communicate. If that is not being communicated, a member has a right to raise an issue, formal or informal, with you to say, but there's this case that we've, you know, put there, we're not getting a response, and therefore we demand a response. If it comes to the committee, now you will have to account now, meaning that definitely the department will have to account, formal account, right? And that's not what we want to see. We want to see this, mutual working relation between Parliament and the department and our members. Not only members of this committee, but any other member of Parliament, they get consulted by such cases as they do that way. Okay? So let me give, before you come in, let me give Mam Dambuza.
No.
No, he's putting his finger here. I thought he was
Thank you very much.
This one.
No, I want to just say something.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Honorable Don, you can just wrap it up for us.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I think I'm happy that you stressed that. Because as members of Parliament, we are representing public, our constituencies. So it's not that we are just doing that for just for fun. We are being elected as public representatives. Whenever there is a problem in our constituents, we have to handle it. We have to channel those problems to the various departments. And we deserve that response or that respect that they have to respond to us. So I'm very happy that you stressed that to the department. But secondly, it's surprising for this court case, Eyazwana Ndimlo, Dibone Mapepini, ka June this year. Then the department would come to say they don't know it. Whereas this was in the papers, the person came out from the court ruling in favor of that particular person. That person is from DRC. I know it won't fill up because I read it through the papers. My question is, by the time that person was in the court, was the department not there? But I don't need any answers. But I'm just pointing that I don't believe that they don't have this case.
Chairperson, I think we're going to sing the same story. The same song.
That's fine.
Okay. Chairperson, I don't know. Maybe there's something wrong with Home Affairs, especially with civics. Mm-hmm. Now civics, there's people, I've got 40 people that are sent to Mozi. That was sent through my office to Mozi. There is no reply. This was in May. Nobody say, acknowledge that we receive your email. There's letters that are sent to Home Affairs, to the minister. Nobody's answering. Now, I really don't know what we can do. Maybe we have to call the officials. Secondly, when you speak to the DG is not here now. He will refer you to a junior official.
Wow.
Now, it means that we've been undermined by our own structure that we say we oversee it. Now, this is the thing that we need to resolve. The last issue, yesterday, Chairperson, I went to Barrack Street. There's a child who's doing grade 12. He cannot write exams until he produces ID. He's from Congo. The parents, they've got their PR, but the child doesn't have, and he was born here. So I was trying to sort out that thing. Now, I don't know why must we go and do Home Affairs work. That is what I want to stress. Maybe there's a question. What can we do? Thank you.
Uh,
Chair, I don't want to, I'm not going to say the same things, there's no point. I just want to raise a separate issue. This thing about the point that Honorable Kalipi raises here is an important issue. I'm not talking about the specific incident, but the principle of the issue around the whole process of the citizenship thing. You weren't here the last time, but when the DG was here to explain this thing around the Gupta case, one of the things, I remember asking him the question in that, how did you grant citizenship if the family did not already revoke their previous one? He explained to say, well, the reason why we didn't ask them to cancel their Indian citizenship first was because we didn't want them to be stateless. That's what he said. He said, so if we tell people to revoke their citizenship first and then put it in the application, it means by the time we finalize their citizenship application, they will be stateless. And if there's a problem, then they can't go back. So this thing speaks to that. In the case of the Gupta family, they got this different process to ordinary people. So, which is something that I think Home Affairs must explain at some point, to say, what are the steps you take when it comes to citizenship? At which point do you say revoke? Before or after? Because before can't be right, and they really need to fix that. But linked to that is another issue, Chair, which is related to this. And the issue is this, on the opposite side of the argument, if you take up citizenship of Mozambique, you will lose your South African citizenship unless you apply for exemption from the minister. But you don't know this, and there are many people in the country who don't know this. And what happens is that they discover after 5 years or so, when they go to renew their passport, they're no longer citizens. Because Home Affairs does not inform them to say, we've picked up that you are a citizen of another country, and we're giving you 5 days to explain why you shouldn't lose it. There's no notification. They just cancel it on the system. And then people discover this 5 years later, we're no longer citizens. It's a constitutional issue, in my view. You can't just cancel people's citizenship without at least giving them a chance to make representations. So can we ask, Chair, that these two issues be, at some point, that we find some resolution to it or get some response from the department so we don't lose the thrust and the principle that Honorable Nkalipi has tabled here. Thank you.
I thank you, Chair. I told myself that let me just listen, but it provoked me a little bit, especially when I started to see that this case went to court. So we must use this case again, Abraham. Adam, as a reference to our case against the Guptas. Because remember that this issue of renouncement was answered otherwise. To say that they don't need them to be stateless, but they need other people to be stateless. So it must be written down. It will be used as a reference again. So that rightly. But what I wanted to say, Chair, while I fully agree with you that we mustn't see ourselves opening Home Affairs here, but at the same time, there are other important issues that needs to be dealt with. Like, for example, this kind of issues. We need to have a day with this Home Affairs department to deal with such issues. Not the issues that were not treated, but those were treated to the point that they even came back from the court without any attention from our officials. You see, yesterday they came to me to say that, hey, you are harsh to us.
Yeah.
And I was telling you the truth. Because of, you see, the maladministration that is there proves otherwise. The report yesterday about naturalization showed us that in fact 4 to 5 DDGs knew about what was happening. And someone wrote even an affidavit to tell them these issues, but they kept quiet. You know what it implies legally? They defeat the ends of justice because of their watching crime. There are accomplices to this criminal moves made by Guptas. So my request, my humble request in front of this committee, Comrade Chair, Honorable Chair. Yes. Honorable Chair. These important issues like this ones, we must call them. And sometimes we need to have serious recommendation to the minister, CC, the president, the presidency. So that even the minister must see that we are not here to be praising us. I'm not even prepared to do that. You know me since I was here. I'm not prepared to be a pressing of any person. If people are not waking, they must be attended. Yeah, they must be attended, and all of us, we must work like now. As a unitary unit. Then, before I pause, Chair, reserve a day to deal with such issues. I even gave DG, 18 DG, another issue yesterday. Whereby Home Affairs declined application of that person saying that the papers are fraudulent. And the papers that come from Home Affairs. How can that person know that these papers are fraudulent while they are coming from the same institution? But I didn't want to make noise about it. I just talked to the DG. I gave him all these problems to go and deal with it. And he promised to come back before Friday. So we don't want to reveal many, many things that are happening that side. Yeah. So lastly, I'm happy with this issue of SIU to treat the issue like a state attorney. I felt vindicated yesterday because of, I was saying that why these people are always losing the case that are winnable. I know I'm coming from that fraternity. These people are conniving. Hey, they said, but let me not go there. Because it was a different chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks, Chairperson, for taking my hand before Ubaba next to me here. Chairperson, it's very clear that there are many issues and many queries which members have brought forth to Home Affairs, but they've never had any joy in the responses. Chairperson, may we recommend that as part of your program, as we have a program here, probably maybe after so many weeks, you put it on record that we actually discuss these type of issues with Home Affairs. It's actually a standing item. Maybe every third meeting of ourselves, unless if it's something quite urgent, then it can just come in at any time. But then we have a standing item. It's because, Chairperson, I said to you, I knew you many years back when you were the chairperson of Home Affairs. Home Affairs is it's a very important ministry, especially to me. It's a very, very important ministry. It's actually one of the most senior ministries. We cannot afford to have such type of issues happening at Home Affairs. We should have gone through a lot of them ages back. Mandiwa, Natirba One Mashaka. He's here all the time. So we need to also interact with him, as you have said. Ndiyabadiva bazula baone bohamba rana sudo samusi bohamba bo chairman atiri bohamba eh. So we need to ensure we make such type of use. But chairperson, I'm actually still disappointed at the type. I've also got my issues as well, which I can bring up. I can bring up many, just like all other members here. So please, chairperson, put it as a standing item. If it means that we'll have files coming from members, let them come out, so that actually we point fingers at Home Affairs and we inform them that you were supposed to do 1, 2, 3, you did not do 1, 2, 3. But the most important thing which I wanted to state before I give over to you, chairperson, is the disrespect that is shown to honorable members. The disrespect that is shown to honorable members, where if you need assistance, you are shunted from pillar to post. That is not fair. I think we will need to work on a system. I think you said we can make use of Bomanduana as well as maybe one other person or one other ministry in Home Affairs or one other directorate, where that person knows that, you know, if members are not able to get satisfaction, they actually contact them. So we need those direct lines. But chairperson, as I have stated, let's come up with a standing item. Things are not okay. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And I want to thank Mam Kalipe as well for raising this issue, because it's common to us all. We have had the same experience of the department not responding at all. Now you wonder what happens to a man on the street. So, but in perhaps trying to resolve this matter, I think we need to have the department and the minister together with the DG and discuss this issue. And secondly, I think because now we represent the speaker, the chairperson should talk to the chairperson of the chairpersons about report this problem and discuss it with him and see whether perhaps the speaker at her level can intervene, because we are representing the speaker when, as members of parliament, when we go to different offices, and then develop a protocol. We are not fighting, but we are developing our democracy. It is growing, and now it is showing teething problems. Let us try and deal with those teething problems. Yes, we are informal as a government, but there has to be some protocols. And then if some protocols are not observed, there should be consequences. And that has to be a standing distinct agreement. If now a member does her work, because they are representing, each member represents at least 400,000, how many now? So now you just disregard that member. It cannot be allowed. But let us just develop a way of our relationships. I think we are a growing democracy. Let us develop those relationships. Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Mr. Thomas Sigama, Chairperson, is acting DDG. Mr. Thomas Sigama. Chairperson, what I can say is, and Mr. Galipi, thank you very much. I don't specifically have this information, but I undertake to take these matters back to go and discuss it with the DG and make sure that everything that the members have raised here is brought to his attention. Also, maybe the minister have a discussion to go and indicate what was discussed here today. So from my side, I apologize that there's not been any responses, but I will make work of it and see how we discuss that issue with the principals and make sure that the answers are forthcoming. The second issue, Chair, that I would want to also push forward is to say that I'm of the view there should be a central repository where all these questions are. Now, the department can look at it, but that it comes from the committee to, say, for instance, the DG's office, but there's a specific email address that is created for the specific purpose. I know what I've done, for instance, in certain of the legal cases is where the state attorneys say they don't get instructions from the department. I've created an email to say, if you don't get any joy, send it to me so that I'm aware of that, and I've got people monitoring that specific email address at to see if there are no instructions. So maybe with the minister's PLO and IGR and the department, so that we just create a line, but I'll take that back to the DG, and there might be a communication with chairperson as well to say how we can do this to just streamline the process and make sure that we're aware when the matters come in, chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. I'm a director responsible for the registration of births, marriages, and deaths. In any way, I... yeah, in any case, when I watch you guys on the television... My apologies. When I watch you, honorable members, I sometimes have this minute opinion about the work you do. But now that I'm here, I really realize that there is quite a lot of work that is happening. Perhaps my opinion is a bit narrow and shallow. But I do concur. These are serious issues that needs to be looked into. I'm touched by the statement that a DRC child cannot write matric because he has no ID. I know procedurally, if a child is born of a permanent resident, there is a procedure that must be followed. We issue a certain certificate, unabridged birth certificate for non-South Africans, and advise the parents to follow a certain process within Home Affairs up until the child becomes a permanent resident. So that is the procedure. But if things are not done the way they should be done, I think it's for the House to give us advice. And we honestly and humbly take such advices and deal with whatever issues that need to be dealt with. Honorable Mkalipi mentioned a critical issue relating to one, citizenship, two, nationality, and statelessness. These three concepts are so interrelated. If you look at our Constitution, Section 20, which is part of the Bill of Rights, and you look at the Hague Conventions, you look at the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, you can then begin to understand that our Constitution flows from various international pieces of legislation or international conventions and ordinances and laws and all that. But I'm aware that the issue of the matter of nationality lies in the domain reserve of a state. And obviously, the state does not operate as a single entity. It operates in line with other international conventions and all that. It's really for Home Affairs officials to do and apply the existing legislation in line with the existing international practices. But where we are wrong, we would accept and do the right thing in terms of existing legislation. And thanks very much.
Chairperson, sorry, without need to belabor the point, if I may request, I don't know if you want to table Ms. Nkalipi's letter formally and then send to the report, but if I can take that information with me as well, I will undertake to start working on it and see, you know, where, what happened. Chairperson, I'm in your hands.
Our members, all of you who have done cases with the department, please can you communicate them to give their email address. Now, members, we'll work out the mechanism of coordination of this issue.
And correctly, Mamgomo, that at some point as a committee,
we must be able to have a session with Home Affairs on such matters, you know, where we invite all the department officials that are responsible at the level of the DG and the DTGs, having sent them before these cases and asked them to come and give us a feedback. Because part of this exercise, what we do, is what frustrates our people outside there. Because imagine that this ordinary person goes to Home Affairs, they're told, no, you got fraudulent documents, and you know that you got the documents from the department. What do you do? What do you do? The issue of corruption is very rife. By the way, there's a case, Dion, that someone applied for, he's born in KZN, a parent died, left with the granny. They've applied for the ID for this young person. This young person was made to pay to an official of Home Affairs 5,000, and then the official is still waiting for the balance for him to issue the ID. The ID is now waiting for that. But I'm dealing with it somehow. I just want to expose that corruption. You know, these are some of the things that you find are happening at Home Affairs. But corruption is very rife, hence the unit that is responsible for corruption. And it's non-functional, that thing, by the way. It's non-functional. Both the inspectorate and that unit that deals with the corruption and ethics and what in the department is non-functional. It's not working. The levels of corruption in Home Affairs, you know, let me tell you a story that you don't know. That in fact has pushed me to have this passion so much. You know, when I applied for my birth certificate, imagine I'm over 50 now, I'm talking many years ago, yeah. A place called Wamushe, there by Johannesburg. All these people used to go there before. But they used to call it Gomush. Now, in my watch, right, I was young. I'm born in Soweto, in Jabavu, called place called Jabavu. My records were at the clinic, at Jabavu Clinic. So he took the records. Now, you must have your clinic record, then you go and apply for a birth certificate, because it was not issued at the same time. You know, and this chap was insisting that my mother must pay 20 rand. He had a brown dust coat, like. And I was a young boy, and she was struggling to get this 20 rand. You know, and then, but somehow she managed to raise, the queue was long, it was busy there. At some point, she managed to raise the 20 rand, and she paid this official 20 rand. That's how I got my birth certificate.
You're a product of corruption.
Yes, but I was not going to get it. If she'd not pay, I'm telling you, if she'd not pay, it tells you how this corruption does not start now. No, it's fine, I understand it, I understand. But I'm telling you that this corruption, no. But look, my records, I'm born in Jabavu. I was born in a clinic in Jabavu. My records are at the Jabavu clinic in Soweto. So I'm born here. But to get my birth certificate, someone had to be bribed for me to get my birth certificate.
You see, can I just say that it's the best investment your mother has made, because at least you've got a good member of
Dion, Parliament. You must understand, Dion. Now let me tell you, Hossein, let me tell you what you don't know. Is that now that we're now involved in the liberation struggle and all of that, in the ANC, those that knows me, that I work with in the ANC, they call me Home Affairs. Before the new dispensation, they call me Home Affairs.
Because you had the experience.
No, in fact, not experience. You know why?
It's because when we overthrow Mangope in the northwest, we took the Home Affairs official to the border gate of Bophuthatswana, and I was champion in that thing for the people in Bophuthatswana to apply for South African citizenship. That's how we were able to overthrow that Pakistan. So those that lived and worked with me in the trenches, they called me Home Affairs till today. Now that I'm here, I'm now fighting that corruption now. I want that 20 rand. I want... and I suspect that doesn't look like the under. Okay, colleagues.
Let's come back now.
The matter, in fact, we've sort of agreed on the on the way forward. We've agreed that, Mamkoma, that we'll sort of have a session where all of these cases and all the DDGs comes in, especially when we deal with, for example, when we deal with the annual report and quarterly reports, right? Mm-hmm. We may want, because when you deal with quarterly report, all the DDGs are there. You may want to use that opportunity to spend about an hour, an hour and a half, just to engage around the issues that you have sent to the department, you know. But again, nothing stops you as a member of parliament to raise questions, statements in the house, you know, and let the minister respond on those issues and the deputy minister respond on those issues, you know. So Mam Kalipi can come in.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Chair, and thank to the members of the community, because we all agree that let us work as a unity here. Is because at some point when you raise an issue, people think that no, because we are not a political member of my political party, so you want to play political games. But the spirit which the community, the committee, is also showing here is very, very much progressive. But Chair, just to say that because you also advise us to say that we must send these things to the PRO. I do that all the time. I do all the time to Mozi Joe. It's our PRO. This person is minister's... Is minister's what?
Advisor.
Liaison officer with the minister. We have our own PRO, which is Mozi Joe. So he knows, Chair, every day when I have a matter, I send it to Mozi or to AD, because AD is very helpful as well, your secretary in the office. He is very helpful, Chair. He just wastes no time. When you send a matter, he sends it to Moses to say, please make sure that this matter is attended to. I agree with most of the views to say that, Chair, let us get a time, because it starts here in this committee. Very much good that now we have a new chairperson who understands very clear what needs to happen in Home Affairs. Because some of the things, as committee members, we got frustrated from the previous chairperson. When you want to raise issues and then the chairperson wants to protect the officials, and then it becomes a problem. Let me just remind the committee members what happened. Do you remember last year when all provincial managers were here, chairperson? When all provincial managers were here to make some presentation, I raised an issue with Mpumalang, provincial manager, to say there is a question that is still hanging about the one of the MECs there in Mpumalang, who is allegedly that he is from outside the country. That manager wanted to hide when I raised the thing. The chairperson that day said, okay, in 2 weeks to come, we need to have an answer. It has been a year. There's no follow-up. Even if things are raised in this particular platform, because when you raise issues in this particular platform, it's registered, as Babu Kumeto was saying, that we represent the speaker here, chairperson. So I don't know which other platform can you raise issues wherever. If we are raising issues, it's not taken into consideration. Lastly, chairperson, I want you to listen to this one. The issue that is here in this letter of Mr. Raj Kusi, right? He wrote to me on the 6th of August. Listen to this. Good afternoon, Hlengi. Thank you very much for your effort on this regard. I found out that naturalization certificates are ready for collection. That is 6th August. But I also found out that they have lost mine and my family. Our names are on the list, but they do not have our certificates. After all this effort, I'm back to square one. I spoke to Mohammed from provincial office. He said all certificates to Harrison Street, they should have it. Spoke to Lance in HQ. He said they sent all certificates to provincial office. Harrison Street got all the certificates except ours. Now, Chairperson, there is this ceremony this weekend. I don't know if this person is part and parcel of that ceremony, while he went to Joburg office and found out that his certificate and his family is lost. I sent that one to Mozi to say, make a follow-up, Gay, because I'm going to raise this thing with the chairperson and the committee. There is no response from department. So this, what you are raising here as a committee, please, department, at least if you can tell us what is the status of this case, to go back to the, I don't know this Kusan, because I'm a member of the committee, as Mamu Utambuza was saying, we are representing people here on the ground. When you get such met, it's not because you know that person, but you are doing your work. So that person, we are the last option for that person to say, okay, at least this member of parliament will have some ear, because at least we are voted by people. But when the department go to, I think that is Babuska Kane who was supposed to be here, not Dion, but thanks Dion that you are going to take this matter up. What we need, Comrade Chair, as you said, that we don't have to open home affairs here, but we need the department to do their job. Mamungoma put it very clear that it's a very important department in the country. But if home affairs is declining in this fashion, it's becoming a problem. Chair, I don't know, but I trust that you are going to get solutions. Thank you.
But we then agree on the process that is agreed upon is that we then communicate all the issues, we make their email available. Members that pick up from the committee will then note the issues, record them, right? And let me get a copy of the issues that we have to come to all the issues that we need to come to. And then we'll keep as we get then what I mean is then meet the official and then meaning that they did not meet the DG that year
Chair, I would want to suggest that maybe we stick to the way that it was before, whereby all the issues are sent to AD and AD communicate with me. So they will have to have a...
You are parliamentarized. What is the way?
Yes, it's true what you say.
Don't amend what I'm saying.
Okay.
Then we take it that
Okay, members. This one out here. Referral over there.
Yeah.
Right, members, let us come back to the business of the day. No, it's your issues.
No,
it took us so long because these are serious matters. Let's come back to the business now. And I think after lunch will be ready at 1. You don't want to break now. Let's just get into the business of the.
It's coming at 1.
What time will come at 1?
Lunch. What's lunch here?
Right now, because
yesterday we received a presentation by the committee section, a team that is led by Edima Tonsi together with his support team, legally and research. They presented the document yesterday. I did not even have time to go through it last night. And I hope that members will have gone through the
the document last night, so that this morning, having received the issues as they are presented, there are other issues that require further information that you will solve them by last night. I'm not sure if how far you've gone. Maybe you can talk on such issues, I'll give you a platform, talk on such issues, and then we can then deal with the way forward legal. Oh, Galama, you are very fun. Come and sit here in front here. Come and sit in front, both of you, just sit in front here, so that you are able to advise, because we need your advice now on the issues that are before us.
To Abraham, the son of the nation. Okay, my apologies. You carry a very important name, you know. Without you, we'll not exist. There's a man of home affairs. Hey, John, the real home affairs is this man, Adam, who is...
Thank you, Chairperson.
Are we getting a new document,
Chair? Yes, I emailed the new document to members this morning, and it's also been distributed to members. Yeah. So the difference between yesterday's report and today's report, the additions are from page 12, which are all the additions are underlined, and this was in terms of the additional information we received yesterday morning. We put it in the company section relating to the ANN 7 employees affidavit that was submitted to the committee related to the irregular activities under his employ of the Guptas in ANN 7. Prior to these additions, I just need to note that I removed some duplication in the report that was in the initial overview, because we deal detail great detail in the section on the the Gupta family on the exact process as followed. I removed the reference, the detailed reference to that in the initial timeline just to make the report slightly shorter. There was a necessary duplication, but we haven't removed any information that was in the report. We've just made it shorter. And so then other than that, we've made this addition, which I think is worth going through. The affidavit from Sundaran, the author of this book and also a former employee of NN7, referred to page 12, sir. Referred to his employee under the Gupta-owned Infinity Media, whose trading name is TNA Media, between 3 June and 2 September 2013. According to him, the with support of emails that he submitted to us, was that the Gupta family created a joint venture with Lakshmi Huel, an Indian national, and Dudizani Zuma, who owned 30% of the company. Indicates that there were contraventions of the South African labor and visa regulations, and that in despite of the availability of sufficiently qualified South African candidates across all departments at ANN7, Mr. Atul Gupta and Lakshmi insisted on hiring staff from India in order to exploit them for longer working hours and to pay them lower salaries. He claims that large numbers of employees would enter South Africa on tourism visas with the option of converting these to work permits at a later stage. And further alleges that indicated that former President Zuma assured him that a number of visas would be issued by Home Affairs without fussing about the norms required. Claims that further labourers were brought in on tourist visas to assemble the ANN7 studio, and that they lived in the construction site in the Midrand under subhuman conditions. They were paid in rupees, that Mr. Chawla coordinated with the President's Office and Home Affairs to ensure visas were speedily issued. Many people stayed on tourist visas and then just paid a fine at passport control when exiting the country, which they were then later reimbursed for by ANN7. A number of people who overstayed on tourism visas were issued work permits within weeks. Indicated there was an improper relationship between former President Zuma and Mr. Atul and AJ Gupta through the OPEC company, and alleges that Mr. Zuma used his position to benefit the OPEC media venture, of which his son was a 30% shareholder. These include advertising deals, an IEC advertising budget is specifically mentioned, and sponsorship and attendance of the New Age Gupta breakfasts, which allegedly generated insane profits, quoting him. That SABC archives were sold for less than market value to ANN7, including priceless archive footage of former President Nelson Mandela, which could be worth millions. Mr. Atul Gupta made racist slurs about South African staff during his conversations, also alleges that physical and verbal abuse occurred against ANN7 staff. So this is not specifically related to Home Affairs, it's a more general allegation, but it's part of the affidavit. He indicates then also that he made a formal complaint on these experiences immediately on his return to India, and has to date, 5 years later, not received any response. He attaches the emails sent to senior DHA members of staff in 2013, and indicating these allegations at Infinity Media and ANN7, and indicates the dates and the persons to whom these emails were sent. These include the former DG, current DDG Immigration, I've indicated the DDG, that's actually the former DDG, Counter-Corruption and Security Services, former DDG Finance and Supply Chain Management, the former DDG of Human Resources at Home Affairs, and the now deceased former DDG of Communication, Ronnie Mwepa. So that in section, so what we've done is included this section and also in turn referred to these individuals as part of the list of persons we could potentially invite to present to the committee in Section 10. So I won't refer to that again. We've suggested that perhaps we can invite these people again to present to the committee. Then we'll skip forward to the next additions underlined in the document, which are under Section 9 on page 20. And this is in relation to the chairperson's indication that we should include additional information on the naturalization of Atul and Rajesh's family in 2002 and 2006, so the other families that were naturalized, in terms of who the officials involved were and the processes followed. We have some indication of that. Some of the documentation is there, which we can include in the report. However, the exact officials involved, we are not yet in possession of. So we will follow up with the department. So obviously, that's going to take it will take a little bit of time for them to give us that information. But we'll source that for the final report. And then, in turn, relating to the subpoena, I mean to the affidavit, questions 23, 20 to 25 on page 20 on the bottom there. Also underlined, relate to the ANN7 affidavit. So we've included three questions relating to that, which I can read through. The bottom of page 20, the ones underlined. Okay, so the question then is, the documents submitted to the DHA related to AJ early naturalization, AJ's early naturalization application included the social responsibility donations to schools in the Northwest Province. Evidence from the school suggests that in some instances the donations may have been overstated or incorrect. And what is the administrative recourse in cases where incorrect or overstated information is submitted to support applications for early naturalization? So this has in fact occurred, so we can see that the information submitted in the early naturalization was in fact questionable, particularly as far as the donations concerned. And this in turn relates to Section 8 of the Immigration Act, of the Citizenship Act, which states that deprivation of citizenship can occur if the certificate of naturalization was granted in conflict with the provisions of this act or any prior law. So there is actually recourse to remove the citizenship of these persons if they were granted in contravention of the usual procedures to be followed for naturalization. Obviously, bearing in mind that we don't want to have stateless persons, you know, you don't want to, if they've been revoked of their Indian nationality, the process needs to be managed suitably. But again, there's recourse, according to members also having made the call at some earlier stages in our meetings to have their citizenship revoked. Then the next point there is, on 24, was can the DHA clarify why emails submitted in 2013 to several of its senior management listing visa irregularities were not investigated and responded to? So again, now relating to the previous engagement now on non-response to issues raised. Then 25, can the DHA provide a list of all Indian nationals who applied for various visas under the Gupta-related group of companies to enter South Africa in the period between 2013 and 2017? Secondly, what type of visas were issued? And thirdly, a list of the visas that were subsequently renewed and a list of visas that were converted to a different type. So this seems to be, there might be a significant amount of employees, but we need to cross-reference all these things because there's indication that that there was a broader, far broader irregularities in the visa than purely the naturalization process. So there's significant information we still need from the Department of Home Affairs, particularly in relation to employment and visa practices related to ANN 7, but also all the other companies. So that was a broader question. Thank you. That's all I've added, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Adam, again. Is there any other additional comment, maybe before we give members to comment? Legal? Consulted? You all fine? Yes.
Just a friend of Chairperson, I see you also mentioned the former Minister of Home Affairs, Mr. Mamosubutini. What about former Minister also, Zuma? Why is she not mentioned here? Because she was part of Home Affairs.
The looking at the timeline of all the different permits and visas that were issued, there was nothing that actually occurred during her tenure. Yeah.
The second question on the document. I just want to get a clarity, Eddie, because now you gave us a new document, right? That was an addition of what you told us yesterday, but those affidavit. But when I go to page, now it's page 11.
Yeah.
Compared to the last document of yesterday. And the heading under consideration of exceptional circumstances, right? Did you take some of the information out? What happened?
Again, this is an indication that there was duplication on the. So we've mentioned in detail how the three Gupta families' applications were dealt with in a later section on AJ, Atul, and Rajesh. So this was essentially just a duplication of the same information. So I didn't want to repeat the same information. So we give an indication of what was exceptional, but then the actual process that was followed step by step is in the later section. It's under section. Well, it was duplicated. There was a duplication of information, so I removed the duplicate information and So we rather just refer to section. Sorry, let me just find the right section. To section 4 on page 8. Section 4 on page 8 goes into the specific details of the exact permits that were issued in which order and the whole immigration history of the three families. So that was essentially just a duplication in the previous section.
I beg to differ with what Adam is saying. Because when you go to the last document of yesterday, right?
Yeah.
On page 12, I don't know if members, they still have that one of yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes, of yesterday. Then, under the heading of consideration of exceptional circumstances.
Consideration of
what? Yeah. So the paragraph that starts with the department received a parliamentary question number 2146. That section, Adam. And you are saying that it was a duplication of information, but on the page 8 that you are mentioning is not there. I will tell you why I think this information is very important, Chair. Yes.
Yeah,
it's removed now. It's no longer there. So that's why I need a clarity from Adam. And he is saying that it was a duplication. When you referred us to page 8, that information is not there. So there is no duplication. That's why I beg to clear.
How does this thing then come in here?
No, it comes in here. This document, Chairperson, this document must be authentic because it's not the committee document. It will be the document that will go to archives. Even the generation to come, they must know what happened. So I think it was correct to mention what happened, and I wanted to raise more of this information here because I think this is very important information. I need you are writing history here.
Let's read this paragraph for us, Adam. Let's just go through it and then we'll get the relevant to it.
So, yeah.
And it falls from what?
That's fine. I think essentially the duplication is only actually then, as what Honourable Member is saying, is only from the paragraph after that. So if we include reference to that, just that paragraph itself, then we'll address her concerns. Basically, it's the procedure that preceded what the committee engaged in. So if we include that paragraph from the former report in the same section on exceptional circumstances, either that or in the timeline initially, we can include it right at the beginning because it precedes the committee. But perhaps just in the same section, we'll just include that paragraph if members wish.
I understand it because this is supposed to be the committee report, and then the committee report that where does it start this thing? This thing starts with, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, let me ask this. I know that I ambush you, right? It's just because I'm a student. I was doing my assignment. Then I'm doing my assignment on this thing as well.
That's lovely.
Yes. So I have noticed that yesterday's document, right, which I wanted to brought here and query it. If you are saying there was a question which is very good and is very procedural to know for the generation to come, there was a question that was posed and how the minister lied. I'm sorry to use that name, to use that particular name, because here we are heading straight to inquiry of what happened. So it becomes a document that will be read by generation to come, right? So now it's totally removed.
How do you want to package what happened in the National Assembly into a committee report? Just let's understand this part. Is it what happened in the National Assembly, but this paragraph deals with the question raised in the House and the response of the minister? The relevance of it in the report, well, how does it come in?
It's not what happened in the House, right? Adam is giving the background on what needs to happen now. And he gave us the history of the whole saga of Guptas. And when it goes to Parliament, it becomes the... Sorry?
Also, the following paragraph then deals with...
Yes, it gives us a clear direction with what happened. It's not for the committee only, Chairperson. My understanding is to say that even your child, even my child who's 10 years old, when you want to go and read about this thing, you will have a clear picture of what happened in Parliament in 2018. There was a parliamentary question, and the minister or the department said, and when the inquiry started, it also proved that that minister or the department was not telling the truth. It's on the archives of the Parliament.
Okay, look, I don't see anything harm much about it, generally. I'm just trying to locate it, now that you have raised it, from within the whole sequence of events that happened, right? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. For me, I think this paragraph, the question that comes from the member of the committee in relation to
the issue.
It was about this issue.
That's correct.
And then it started there. And then as time goes on, all of them were ever in the daily life. Where even in the other meetings, this question was asked in the other meetings as the portfolio committee.
Okay, ma'am, I'll just leave it there. Leave it there. It does not damage anything. It doesn't damage anything. Just now, I will put it back. It does not damage anything. It just does not damage anything. The only issue maybe that we may have is that... No, let's watch for... Let's note this one, and then we'll put it back. But I see that it does not, in fact, damage anything. It's part of the process of the... This matter, how it was engaged in at the parliamentary level, and outside, because it does talk about the departmental engagement with the portfolio committee and the responses. So it does not do any damage on anything. So we can take it back, so we can replace it back to the thing. That's fine, because
And then this annexure T, where do you get this annexure T? Same paragraph. At the end of it, it talks about annexure T. The department replied accordingly, explaining the exceptional circumstances of granting citizenship to the government. We have an annexure of that.
Yeah. So the initial reply provided by the minister included these annexures. But then again, when the Home Affairs submitted the information to the committee again, when the inquiry started, they submitted those initial replies to Home Affairs,
okay.
And the annexure T then refers to that annexure.
That's
so then it's
that's
the
fine.
Yeah.
That's fine, Mom. Can it be?
Okay, can I continue then?
That's fine.
No, thank you, Chair. Maybe thanks, Mom Tambosa, for it's Women's Month. Chairperson. Chairperson. So, I'm saying, Chairperson, thanks to Mom Tambosa, it shows that it's Women's Month. Then, if one woman falls, the other one must. You wanted me to
call. demobilization of mama, I have shied. Okay, come in.
Yeah, Chairperson, I'm saying that some of the information is missing as well, because I remember that there was a question regarding the passports issue of Gupta. And you raised it, Chair, to remember on the last meeting. Yes, I think that issue of passport, it must also be captured. And there was an issue that some of them, they are registered to vote. And it was also confirmed by the IEC as well. Those 2 points. Thank you, Chair.
We can just provide clarity what you mean on passports.
The passport, the Guptas have issued with passport that was not supposed to be issued with passports because they were not...
No. Leave the issue of they were not supposed to.
Yes.
Issues
of passports. Yes, Chief, you are right.
A conclusion that says that they were not supposed to be issued, right? Because that will be the conclusion of the investigation that we will be doing.
Yeah, no, you're right, Chief. The issue of passports, the issue of
registration. You can say that, and Nakona, you must be clear. You see, what we need to be clear now is that it has really come to attention that you're dealing with a number of families now, right? So you need to be specific when you talk of issuing of a document rather than putting it general. If you put it general, it may create a problem because we've got almost 80 Guptas that we have in the country, or 90 of them. So let's be specific that if it's the IJ, I can't separate them. They're just Ajay or Tony or whatever, who else that has a passport, right? So it's something that I think we need to work on it so that we get who has been issued with a South African passport. But automatically, once you qualify for citizenship, automatically you get your passport, meaning that you can then apply for your passport, right? So we must then look at how many of those that they've been issued with South African passports and who are those that are issued with South African. As we are going deep on this thing, you know, then from there we're dealing with the process which led to acquiring of citizenship. This is what we are dealing with. So that we are not confused and throwing in. And at some point what we are going to need, obvious, is that you're going to need a breakdown. I'm not being somehow trying to exercise some kind of prejudicing other Gupta people, but we need to have a department giving us a breakdown of everyone who is
naturalized,
who is using a visa, work permit, passport, who is Gupta in the system. If you're dealing with 80 people,
That's why we cannot only focus on, if you want to focus on two, then you're going to have a problem, because we are now going to back to 2016-2017. So you go deeper, you then look at the entire list. And in that list, it will then tell you that we have the following permits that are issued to the people in the name of Gupta. Either it's visa, it's work permit, it's what, right? I think you're doing an investigation, right? Then from there, you then come to application for citizenship. I mean, permanent resident. This one was permanent resident. He has moved from permanent resident to citizenship. And who are those ones that are in citizenship? Then we then look at those who have qualified for, who have citizenship are the following. Then we then deal with the whole issue of qualification. How do they qualify? That's what we're investigating. Or unless I'm missing, I'm missing it. What we are investigating is how do they qualify for citizenship, right? So you'll have to deal with that sequence that Adam has put very well. That they entered, this one entered on this date, that's why we're going back to as early as 1994, 95, 93, in fact, right? And then say the first person that entered was this person. It may not be the first person, maybe there may be other Guptas that came before that. But that information is held by the department. In our records, in what we're investigating, this is what we pick up. Then from there, then the rest then followed. And as they followed, they came in with visitor's permit, work permit, permanent resident, and then you then look at the qualification. Did they qualify as stipulated in the law to acquire a permanent resident? Proper applications were done for this person to qualify for a permanent resident, right? And then from the permanent resident, application for citizenship, right? This then the following people then applied for citizenship, and then that's when your panel, your what comes in, right? Adjudication and all of that, rejected, minister's discretion kicks in, at what level, right? Now, it's the reason that we have listed the names of other ministers. It's not because we're saying they've done something wrong, but we're saying that under their time as accounting officers, and not accounting officers, political heads of those departments, for example, is it I.J. Gupta? Is it I.J. Gupta? The one who was naturalized before?
Atoll.
You know, I don't... Yes, Atoll and the family applied after staying in the country with this permanent resident. This is where they apply, and then they qualify, then they were issued with citizenship. If there's anything wrong in that, that's what we then investigate. You investigate that process. If you then find that there's something wrong, that's what then you then put people to come and account on what we have discovered, there's something wrong. Then you move to the next person, just like that. That's how we are going to approach this thing. If we're going to throw, but it's because we're having a discussion now, trying to shape the approach that we must take. And I'm telling you, where you're going to rely on, you are going to rely on honest Home Affairs that is going to give you proper, honest documents before the committee. That's what you need. Because there's no other person that has that information except Home Affairs. Right? So you then, because Adam has sort of started to package these questions, right, with the team. And these are questions that Home Affairs will have to come and speak to those questions. You don't go to anyone else. Who else that has state information other than Home Affairs? Can't go to justice, can't go to health. But it's Home Affairs that we must then say that these are the questions that we need clarity on. Then the issue of the discretion of the minister that was flagged yesterday, as required by law to use that discretion, it's something that we may have to look at engaging on it. But looking at the procedure, from the application point of view, the rejection, and the appeal process that was followed, right? So that's how we're going to package ourselves with all this list of questions. You're not just going to throw them and then say, come and explain. There must be preparation to respond to these questions. Right? Once they are sent and preparation is done, then the accounting authority then come and account on those issues.
as we account on those issues, you'll see how slowly we'll be scaling down on the issues and then get into flag into the problem areas and then deal with problem areas. Now, the other areas that came out of the report are areas that, you know, because I now know that the commission, the judicial commission appointed by the president, the Zondo Commission, has in fact taken an interest in the work that we are doing as parliament. I'm informed now that they have in fact written to parliament requesting certain information, you know, and they have provided that. Now, in their document, Adam, there are a number of, the, especially the issue of the leak emails, what do you call them? Leak emails, right? You may want to package that as a committee and say, under our area of operation as Home Affairs, would, as part of the recommendations that you may want to make, now that we have built a relationship with them, or via Parliament, to say, we request that the following information can be added on the state capture inquiry based on the issues that we have identified from Home Affairs' point of view. Because, first of all, you don't have much time to sit and call every witness. Some of them have run away. You saw it in the in the ESCOM inquiry that people have to run away and take cover. But I will tell you that if we have issued a summons and you fail to appear, I'll be the first one to call the minister and the police commissioner to go and look for you. I'm just saying it, that because if you undermine parliament to an extent that parliament can issue a summon and the person does not appear, then it tells you that there's something wrong. But it's an approach that I'm not saying we're going to take. So we must then begin to, you know, give some kind of a direction to the report as presented. The report is given now, and I'm happy that the colleagues are now identifying areas of engagement, areas that we still want them to reflect. We can continue doing that, you know, and add this issue. So that once the report is concluded, like it's a report that we can begin to work on, we then say, what step now do we start to take, right? Then you then look at the kind, that's why I've said that earlier, that you then look at the kind of an inquiry that you want to hold. You can have this thing dragging for the next 4 or 5 months. You can have this thing done in 2 weeks. You can have this thing done in a week. You can have this thing done in a day. Once you know where the problems are, what is it that you want to address? You see? So, because you are given on the basis of, here is the issue in the public domain there, already questions have been asked, therefore the Committee of Parliament investigate this thing. We have done what is right now to go deeper into this thing, right? Of naturalization of this family called the Gupta family. When we're dealing with it, we're dealing with one individual that we have identified in this family. It was it at Tony? Ajay. There. But we have gone deeper now to discover that, in fact, it's not only him who has been given citizenship. And the other family has been given citizenship. And other people that we don't know, who are Gupta, that we don't know, who have citizenship. It's only the department that can help us now. And then look at to how did they qualify. If they qualify by law, that they qualify for a citizen to apply and to be granted, then we cannot be seen, in fact, fighting over what the law says. But if the process was fraudulent process, that's what we must deal with. That's what we must deal with, very harshly so, right? So the issue of invoking citizenship now, Adam, I will tell you that I'm aware that the police are doing several investigations around the issue of state capture. It's not feasible now that you may want to take someone's citizenship. Now, because we want those people here. You take their citizen, they become stateless people, as Mom Khalidi was saying, that you now have stateless people. You vote, you cancel it, you can't find that person anymore. So I'm saying that these are some of the things that as Parliament, as we deal with these issues, we must be alive to. So, but nonetheless, here is a report, colleagues. Let's put more flesh on it. Edwin, Adam and the team
they've done their part, they've gone, as much as some of the information that the department is supposed to give them, we have not yet received. A set of questions have been put there. Let's put more flesh on it. Mm-hmm. We can spend another 10, 20 minutes. Is lunch ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can either, after questions, members, maybe we can break for lunch and then come back, add flesh in it. That's why the reason that it was given yesterday. Put more flesh on it, and then let's deal with the way forward then. What then do we do? Okay?
Open.
Chair, I'm just asking a question of clarity first before I add the meat, as you suggested. So, with your indulgence, can you just allow me that? So, Adam, so that I'm not confused, can I just ask you? There's two documents now, and this is why for this reason, I said yesterday you must please label them as version 1, 2, 3, 4, so we know exactly. But you've got them under dates, so that's also fine. At least we can keep some track of it. The changes that you made are all highlighted underlined, correct? Apart from that, there's no other changes.
Well, the omission.
The omission.
Okay, and how many omissions did you make?
In the introduction, in the first section, section one,
mm-hmm.
we removed the detailed reference to the process followed because that's carried in section four.
Just, I think maybe, Chair, if you can just take us through those so that we keep track of it and we know the changes that we made.
Okay, so should we do all of this after lunch?
He says he can work on it. Let's break for lunch as he's preparing himself. Let's break for lunch quickly, and then we can take, 20 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes.
We'll come back, yeah.
Can you put a bit of some input when
you
come back?
When you come back, yes,
ma'am. So you'll
respond with 20 minutes break, ne?
Thank you.